I've always wanted to be able to stand on my head. And that may be your thing. It may not. The group, spiritual, not religious. It's a broad church, so to speak. Some are devoted, or some just dip their toe in. But the fact is that millions can't shake the feeling that there is something else out there. So let's spend a moment together getting behind this spiritual search. Most of us wonder, at some point at least, about a higher something. There's a sense that life is more than the pounds and pence, work, bills, childcare, and the rest of the daily grind. There are moments that seem transcendent in our lives, a beautiful sunset, a football crowd filling a stadium with noise, a moving piece of music. In days gone by, to fill our spiritual cracks, you just believed what some organized religion told you to believe. But now religion is often seen as a straitjacket or as oppressive. But for many, science doesn't fill that void either. Science may be able to explain the world, but it doesn't evoke how many people feel about their place in the universe. This seems to be behind the rise of spirituality. Here's Oliver Berkman, author of The Antidote. Spirituality, I take, to refer to things that are not expressible in words. There's an aspect of human experience that is non-conceptual. One man who pursues spirituality says this: "The debate between faith and reason is a false one. Science and religion don't occupy the same turf. Saying now that we have science, there's no reason for religion is like saying now that we have the microwave oven, we have no use for Shakespeare. We need both, of course. Only then can we lead fully rounded lives, and yes, happier ones too." This means, by the way, it's worth pointing out that those spiritual, not religious, who believe in something they cannot see, well, most are not loonies. Most are educated and rational people. They may be intelligent, and they have rationalized that life extends beyond that of cold logic alone. And the vast majority live comfortably with doubts and uncertainty about their beliefs. And of course, the goal of spirituality is not always to connect with God. Some get involved in spirituality to improve their health or their fitness, or to help with stress relief, or from relief from bodily pain or illness. Others do it to meet like-minded people for emotional support. For many more, the goal is to grow in what we might call the inner graces, in peace and contentment and joy. Some are clear that they want better self-control over themselves, especially in the face of negative forces that may be from without, maybe from within. If I don't learn to keep my temper and to forgive others, well, I won't get on in life and I'll become bitter. Here's the interesting thing, though. This person could go to anger management evening classes. Instead, they choose a practice that involves plugging in to a higher something. Here are some examples of spiritual teaching. Let's see if these come up. That's not moving on very well. Do you want to do it for me, Matt? And you can see from these slides that each one looks to tap into a higher being. Definition of spirituality: the search for the source of everything. That's what the top phrase there says. Here's another. Spirituality: all you need to know, you are infinitely powerful, loving, wise, and creative because you are a child of the divine. And so it goes on. And a final one. Four things spiritual people do: they look for the divine in everyone and everything they meet. And there are some others there. Each one looking to tap into a higher being of some type. We'll get on to Marcus in a moment. All this simply shows us that we can't help ourselves. Whether or not we practice spirituality, the truth is that for most of us, God won't go away. But the search for God can be exhausting, because there are three key questions, and many wonder if we can be sure about any of them. Firstly, is there a God or a higher something at all? Secondly, if so, can I connect with him, her, it? And thirdly, if so, how? These uncertainties are expressed well in Marcus Brigstocke's book. It's called God Collar. And in the introduction, he writes this. It's down on your sheets. I'm not sure what I believe at present. In terms of knowing what God is for or against, whether he's kind or unkind, or if there's even a shred of evidence to support the idea of his ever having existed, I'm not nearly as certain as I was 2 years ago. This book is about embracing that uncertainty and searching for something without really having the first clue as to what it is. This particular theological haystack might well prove to have a needle or two in it, but until I've pricked my finger, I won't know if that's what I was searching for in the first place. I need to find out if rummaging through the hay to see if that's where God's lurking is anything more than a waste of time, given that I think there's probably no God in there, or in heaven, or anywhere else. I'm in search of a thing that feels like it might be missing. And this, I think, is what so many of us experience. People are seeking solutions to the spiritual and existential questions of life that they face. We have a hunger for more, for some kind of meaning of life, above and beyond the materialistic that is the stuff of day to day. But we're unclear about what to do with it. And there are a lot of options and directions we could go. God is increasingly difficult to discern in our complex world. One philosopher has a particularly pessimistic view. He writes, "My short reply is that you can yearn for higher as much as you like, but what you're yearning for ain't there. But the desire won't go away." But many of us are more optimistic than that, and perhaps we have the desire because there is a God that put it there. For a moment, I'd love us to focus on one aspect of this search for connection with God. One Monday, in March 2012, the Sun newspaper carried this headline, "God is in control." Related to a tweet from the fiancé of the then stricken Bolton Wanderers footballer Fabrice Muamba. Here's the tweet: "God is in control. Please keep him in your prayers." He suffered a heart attack during an FA Cup match, and the incident prompted a huge outpouring of support, and notably an outpouring of encouragement for people to pray for Muamba. It was tweeted, it was printed in the papers, it was online, it was even on the shirts of other footballers during matches. One tweet even said, "It doesn't matter if you're religious or not today, pray for Muamba." Which is remarkable for a non-religious country, isn't it? Now, at its most fundamental, prayer is speaking to God. Many seek a connection to God through prayer, of course they do. In one recent poll, just 1 in 7 people insist they would never resort to prayer in the face of the problems in their lives, or the problems of those of their friends or the wider world. And perhaps significantly, teenagers and people in their early 20s emerged as less likely to reject prayer than their parents' generation. People pray for all sorts of reasons, don't they? And again, here in prayer, there are all sorts of ideas about prayer on there. Author and journalist Heather Havrileski regularly prays, but she said this, "I don't believe in God, but I need some kind of a prayer to repeat when things go haywire. I need a prayer because, as a writer with several unruly dependents under my roof, each day is a roller coaster, a crapshoot, an exercise in uncertainty." So it's interesting, isn't it? We might pray about the uncertainties of life, and yet it's also true that there are plenty of uncertainties about prayer. A few years ago, Madonna was interviewed about her religious views. The interviewer began, "When you gathered your dancers around you in the Blonde Ambition tour and prayed, who were you praying to?" "Who was I praying to?" She repeats the question as if stalling for time. everyone in the room and my idea of God. Is there a God? Asks the interviewer. Yes, she quickly replied. There's my God. Everyone has their own God. Tell me about him. I can't describe him. You have a good idea, though. Yes. The voice was strained and quiet. To me, sometimes I don't know if it's a being or more like the highest state of my consciousness, like trying to rise above everyday life and the things that bring you down and mortality and things like that. It's like calling on any power I have inside myself. It's like a protector, an advisor. It's soothing, comforting, and non-judgmental. But is it a supreme being? I don't know. You know, I really have unformed ideas about it because I could change my mind in about half an hour. I think that religion should be a very personal thing. It's what you get your strength from. So it's an inner matter rather than an organized religion. Yeah, I think so. By this time, she was almost whispering. I've raised lots of questions and issues. There are all sorts of threads here, aren't there? It might be good for us to move in the direction of some possible answers, because not everyone shares this kind of uncertainty.